Mummy, I want to fight the robot. Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And the Zen art of stone skipping is forever ruined for me.
You can't do it just for fun now, huh?
No. That is thanks to this week's documentary, which is Skips Stones for Fudge.
It follows two guys who are trying to one-up each other on the record for number of skips they can achieve by throwing a stone into a body of water.
Yes. And surely our listeners are aware of what stone skipping is, but for like the one guy out there who has been living under a rock, skipping stones is the art of throwing a flat rock across the surface of water and having it sort of skip across the top of the water, and preferably many times. For me, I always thought six or seven was maybe many times, and now I know that's woefully inadequate.
Yeah, not so much. I wanted to point out that the very first thing this documentary throws at us is a quote from Carl Sagan.
Yes.
Somewhere something incredible is waiting to be known. Which at first I thought like, all right, well, that's really setting the table for this documentary achieving something. But in retrospect now, after watching the documentary, I think maybe it's more like reassurance that like there is something more interesting than this out there.
That's possible. That would be the filmmakers exhibiting a very remarkable sense of self-awareness, however.
Yeah, I may be giving them too much credit. The two main guys in this are Kurt Steiner, who is the former world record holder, and Russ Byers, who is the current record holder. And we see him, he's got a bag of 80 to 100 pounds of skipping stones in it. He says that he tries to get four or five of those 4 or 5 times a year. So he calculates that he picks up a literal ton of stones every year to practice skipping them.
Yes. And he looks like he's got all kind of injuries as a result of this heavy lifting of stones. Like he's got little elbow braces on, and he just looks like this stone skipping effort is like a battle for him physically.
But he's like beefy.
Yeah.
And Kurt, in contrast, is this kind of lanky sort of dude.
Yeah. His nickname is Mountain Man. Mm-hmm. And we're introduced to him leaving this meandering voicemail on someone who he hopes is someone he has met before is voicemail, because this person allegedly knows the whereabouts of some amazing stash of skippable rocks. And he says,
I forgot everything he told me except what I thought he said was, my number is easy to remember. It's 837-BILL. So I'm calling 837-BILL. And if this is the guy and you still want to share that information with me, you can get me at 837-7147. Thanks.
Imagine getting that voicemail if you aren't Bill.
Yeah. Kurt also has a collection of rocks. He's got them in a big crate, and he says that he will go through them and separate them out by type and quality and size. And he says that it's not right how much time he'll spend doing that.
It's good he knows that.
There's a guy who is another competitive stone skipper. His name is Paul Farrow. He compares Kurt and Russ to Jim Thorpe and Babe Ruth.
This is the next frontier of athleticism.
Is it?
I mean, watching them skip stones, it feels almost like golf in a way, like the movements seem sort of like that swinging and such. But okay, I'm having the realization right now. I would rather watch people skip stones than I would watch baseball.
I think the benefit to this is that it's over in like 10 seconds.
Right. If the rock skipping competition starts at noon, you are done with the rock skipping competition at 12:05.
Yeah, it's not something where you need to stop in like the latter third of the game and get everybody standing up and singing a song just to make sure they're all awake.
There's no halftime show.
But maybe there should be.
Right. Well, I think it's at this point that we learn what their records were.
Russ says that back in the day, 20 was a big skip, 25 was a giant skip, but Kurt did 40 in a competition, and that was unheard of.
And that's what gave him the record, right?
Yeah. But then Russ came on the scene, and Kurt has this fun moment where he talks about how he gave Russ a rock, and then Russ beat him with that very rock in a tournament, and Kurt says, okay, we have to draw lines with who we share with.
He has serious sour grapes here.
You lose your crown, and you start thinking, well, who's to blame? And okay, it's that guy. Now, I thought we were having a friendly competition and being all chummy about it. Now he's got the world record, you know. I would be stupid to think that he wasn't ultimately going to try because he had the talent to do so.
The talent.
Yes. And then Russ kind of walks us through all this acclaim that he's received from getting the record.
Which is amazing. Like, people asking for his autographs. He's got a Topps baseball card. He's got this guy dedicating his book to him.
This is probably where Kurt has the most bitterness, because he talks about how Russ has gotten all these things. He's gotten international trips. He's been an answer in a crossword puzzle in the LA Times. And Kurt says,
not everybody is rewarded equally according to their quality of contribution.
Right.
But the thing that annoys him most is the Discovery Channel had Russ skip against a robot.
Yes.
And Kurt says it was annoying and aggravating because his whole persona is built upon the scientific method of stone skipping.
Russ can have France and he can have China, but I really should have had the robot. That's all there is to it.
Mommy, I want to fight the robot.
Right. He is not making his way out of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory.
No, he's not. He's turning into a blueberry and getting rolled off stage.
Yes, he is. Which, I wonder why they didn't turn her into a grape.
Yeah.
But I digress.
I think blueberry is more dessert-based fruit than grapes are.
I guess. This part probably isn't going to make it into the podcast. But it does kind of remind me of, we were friends with a pair of photographers that kind of seemed to have a rivalry, and one of them would get sort of indignant that the other one was getting kudos for stuff when they were the one that taught him how to do that and stuff. It's like, I guess, a very common thing.
I suppose. And they talk more about that as we get further into this. But we have a weird bit where Kurt talks about how he leads multiple lives.
I kind of have a double or a quadruple life, but I'm going to show you guys some of these other lives that normally get buried publicly.
And apparently that involves him. It involves him going to a quote-unquote upper middle class grocery store and buying some cereal from the clearance section.
Right.
And talking about how he's never put a new tire on any of his vehicles, so every day he's got to put air in one of his tires because they leak.
And I don't know how to tell Kurt this, but that was not an upscale grocery store.
This isn't really like a second kind of life either.
No.
You guys think it's all glamorous when you've got a world record in stone skipping, but believe it or not, some of us are not financially set for life.
Yeah, I still have to put air in my tires. Jeeves isn't here to do it for me.
No. Kurt leaves the middle class grocery store and goes out and skips some stones, and he says,
and I don't tweet, and I just got a cell phone for the last time 6 months ago. But I've skipped a hell of a lot of rocks. This is a malnourished culture. This is nutrition.
I would give him some credit for talking and having this sort of like reconnect with nature, go out, throw some rocks in the water, if he weren't then throwing stones at a group of geese and laughing at it.
Right? He's not so much communing with nature as he is communing with a specific rock and then destroying nature with it. He has a bucket list of places that he would like to skip stones. And one of them is the National Mall.
Yes.
That actually kind of was like, oh, that's not a bad thing. But then we see him like breaking into different locations to skip stones.
It did make me wonder, would you get in trouble for trying to skip a rock in the reflecting pool in DC? I'm not sure.
I feel like you would.
It feels disrespectful, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, people, I'm confident, throw pennies and stuff into the reflecting pool.
Yeah. We cut next to Mackinac Island, Michigan. It's the 4th of July, and we meet Eric Steiner and his son, Max. Eric is a stone skipping announcer. There's going to be 10 national and international skippers competing in this professional event. This is where we get the fudge.
Yes. Like, apparently the traditional prize for skipping stones is fudge.
Well, I think it might be specific to Mackinac Island.
Oh.
Yeah. Isn't Mackinac Island fudge a thing?
I've never been, but I'll buy that.
Eric's son, Max, is also a contender, a much younger, youthful contender, for breaking the record. And Max and his dad get on a radio show, and the radio host asks Max, well, what's the trick?
You throw it as hard as you can and see how far it can go.
I feel like Max does not have a lot of introspection into his chosen craft.
No.
He's not going to get college paid for it either.
No, he's not going to get a scholarship.
If I win the lottery, I'm going to establish a stone skipping scholarship. Find a campus with a body of water like Virginia Tech's Duck Pond and have a competition, and the winner gets a full ride scholarship.
There you go. Well, Max may have beat Russ's Guinness Book record. He's got a video that's been sent in to the Guinness people to verify. And Max says that Russ has helped him a lot. He's given him the grip it and rip it technique, where you grip the stone as hard as you can and then throw it as hard as you can. Max says that he thinks Russ actually wants to lose the record so that he can fight to win it back.
Because I imagine that it's like not very satisfying to just hold your record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not very satisfying to beat yourself for the new record.
Right.
So we have Max, we have Russ, and then some other random dudes who are in this competition. And there's actually a healthy crowd to watch these men skip stones.
It's 4th of July. They're at some sort of park. But it does seem to be like there are people maybe intentionally there.
Which, again, you're giving up maybe 12 minutes of your life to watch this competition.
Yes, each of them only gets to throw six times, and then the single run with the most skips wins.
I kind of wished at this point that they would have explored the different techniques. They all kind of look like grip and rip. There's a lot of things that are hard to say related to this podcast. Skip stones, grip and rip, all of these, challenging.
Yeah, skips, stones for fudge, you kind of have to pause to keep those words from running together.
Right.
Well, Russ throws a mighty seven in competition.
Yeah, not well.
And then this other rando guy named Mike Airtight Alibi throws a 26 and he wins with that.
Is he the guy that sort of spun out and falls into the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was kind of like me in junior high pretending to be able to throw a discus. Where you just like really crank yourself so much that you throw it, but then you keep spinning and fall down.
Yeah, the grace and athleticism. Yeah,
junior high was a great time.
Yeah.
Well, that competition is over and we're back to Kurt prepping for his big competition. He's not in this Mackinac competition. He hauls out his Guinness book from 2005 and we learn that the Northern European name for stone skipping is ducks and drakes.
Which kind of makes me wonder if Northern Europeans actually were throwing stones at ducks and drakes. And if that goose throwing that Kurt was doing was actually true to the sport.
It was like a weird sort of hunting technique.
Like knock out a duck with a stone.
Before there were bullets, there were still rocks.
Right, but you're not throwing it directly at the duck. You're skipping the stone at the duck to kill it.
Yeah, you think for some reason, like if you can get the duck on a bounce, it is more significant or something.
This society died of starvation.
Yeah. Well, Kurt has a video of himself that he's going to send in to Guinness. We see Russ watch the video and Russ seems pretty impressed. He thinks that there's maybe some problems with the video itself.
They don't tell us what the numbers are.
No, they're really cagey.
Which I think worked.
Yeah, it kind of builds a little bit of suspense.
Yeah, and Russ is just sort of waiting around for his record to be smashed.
Yes, and speaking of Russ and smashed.
Yes.
He's got a bandage on his throwing finger because he just about cut off the tip of his finger tearing down a computer. And then he shows us under the bandage and I just about passed out.
It did not look good.
We know people who like to show disturbing medical things.
Yes. Those people are blocked.
Yeah, you and I are not those kind of people.
No. I can't even look at anything on my own self that might be wounded.
He's got like a big cut and a bunch of stitches in his fingertip. And he jokes about how now he's got to use his middle finger to throw. So he keeps like waving that around like at the camera and joking about how his middle finger will defeat everybody.
But his girlfriend's a little concerned because she says that being the world record holder sort of defines him. And now he's got this wound. So he knows he's going to lose his record to one of these two people because they're not going to submit something if they don't think they're going to beat his record.
Right.
But would he ever be able to go back and take the spot back with this kind of grave injury to his finger?
He's got problems with his ankle. He's got something called PMR, which I guess is something like rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, he's falling apart.
Well, and as she says all this, we have video of him with a cigarette dangling out of his mouth, which I'm sure is helping.
Yes.
So yeah, he's perhaps no longer in his peak physical condition for skipping stones.
No. And we learn it's 1 week before the tournament that all three of these men are going to be competing in. And he's got to stretch and get himself into peak throwing condition.
Yeah, I wanted to mention real quick before we get into that competition, there's a moment with Kurt where he starts to redeem himself a little bit for me, where he's got a copy of Scientific American that is an issue about curing people with inflammatory and autoimmune diseases with shock medicine.
I read this and I was like, by God, this is Russ. This would fix him. It's just like your best friend and, I don't know, you're skiing or something, and he gets tired and can't do another run down the slope. You know, the point is you got to go together or you don't go.
I totally agree. That really made me think like, okay, he's got sour grapes, but he's got a good heart. He really values the friendships he's made through this competition.
Yeah. We get to the competition itself, which is the Franklin Stone Skipping Tournament. So we get some nice slow motion footage of people throwing stones to open the festivities and a surprisingly strong rendition of the Star Spangled Banner.
It was. I expected it to be like a really bad fail.
For the land of the free and the home of the brave.
She sings better than most of the people on this year's season of The Voice.
Agreed.
She could at least be at like a state fair.
Yes. Is there like a ranking of things that you perform at? And where does skipping stone competitions fall? Like baseball is probably the highest.
I think skipping stones is pretty much at the bottom of like public event to sing at.
Probably so. Well, hopefully someone heard her and will move her up the ranks.
There was something else about the competition besides the actual throwing. The announcing is kind of funny.
Yes.
There's not really much to say other than things like, there it is, there it goes, it's still going.
But he does it with great enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. You would think that he was announcing like the Kentucky Derby.
Yes. It totally put me in the mind of horse racing.
Russ skips a 23.
There it goes, there it goes, there it goes. It's still going. That's it.
And he doesn't look too happy about it. And then Kurt skips a 27.
Nice. It's still going. It's still going. It's still going. It's still going.
And then this guy named Paul tries to throw. And he just makes like one big splash.
Yes. Bless his heart.
It's so bad that Eric, the announcer, actually like winces and makes a stink face at the throw.
Yes.
But then we move on to Drew from Canada. He gets a 34.
Nice. That thing is still going. It is still going! It is still going for Canada, folks!
But then Spider-Man Dave, who was last year's champion, gets a 38.
There it is, there it is. Whoa! Oh my God, it's still going! Nice skip!
And with that, he wins.
And previously we saw Dave talk about how he likes skipping stones, but when he looks at Kurt and Russ, he realizes he does not want to be competitive at it.
No, like he doesn't want to turn into like that obsessed person.
Right. So this is like pure joy that he won.
Mm-hmm.
And really, 38 was really, really close to Kurt's record back in 2002.
It was. And Kurt and Russ have this nice moment where they're sitting together at the competition and talking about how they want to look back and say they had a hand in getting people interested and elevating the sport. That's kind of nice.
Yeah. And I kind of thought, like, maybe Dave is the next phenom.
Yeah, you kind of think that, right? Like, if he threw that close to the record in the competition, what's he able to do outside of a competition?
And are his parents really disappointed that he doesn't have the ambition to be competitive at this? He's obviously not an oldest child.
I think his parents are probably glad that he's got a real job.
Do we know he has a real job?
So the competition ends, and we get the news that Max has indeed set the Guinness record. He got 65 skips, and a news anchor says,
Max isn't sure what's next for him. Maybe an instructional video or even a book about skipping rocks.
Which makes me wonder, does Max know what a book is? Because even most children's books are longer than the three sentences Max has previously used to describe how he throws a rock.
Grip it and rip it.
Yep. Kurt says that it's not fair that he would get upset with people who are able to move faster than him.
But really, it's an internal frustration that I don't have what it takes to move at that pace.
But as he's saying this, there's footage of him digging a big hole. Maybe he's like digging a practice pond.
Okay.
But my second thought is maybe he's digging a large enough grave to bury all the people who are better than him at skipping stones.
Dave better watch out.
We never learn what the purpose of this hole is that he's digging.
No.
It's not that deep, but it would accommodate Russ and Dave and Max.
Well, I do want to mention that when we see his, I'm going to use the word house loosely, in the woods, it's like interestingly cobbled together and he's super happily working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And also like apparently forgetting to turn off the power when he's wiring things because he gets a little bit of a shock. And why would you risk your throwing fingers like that?
Yeah, you'd think you'd at least like put some gloves on.
Or turn the power. I'm going to go ahead and say, this should be a life lesson for our listeners. Turn the power off before you interact with power.
I wasn't sure if his entire house had power, which would explain why he might forget that that's a thing.
I completely believe that his entire house does not have power.
He says,
there are people like me who don't fit in the world as it is. Do you know why I even want the world record? It's to be heard. If I have the record, there will be a time when I will stand up in front of some audience and get to say something, and they will be captive. And it's an opportunity that I haven't really had in life.
And he doesn't really take it in this documentary either.
No, he doesn't.
Well, we see Kurt skip a stone, and it goes freaking forever.
It defies physics.
Yeah, it really does. Then he's back at his house and he pulls out the envelope from Guinness. It's got his record. He got 88 skips.
That's insane. And it just goes and 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 goes.
It really does feel like it's defying gravity.
Russ describes it as double infinity.
Yes.
Which, you know, lay those eights on the side. Like that somebody's going to have to throw over 100. To top what he has done, and that he doesn't really see that as possible. He's blown away. And poor Max, he got to hold the record for like a minute.
I hope he got his book draft to the publisher.
Right. Then we see a Japanese news story.
We sure do.
Talking about this new world record. If you close your eyes and imagine a Japanese news story about somebody skipping a rock 88 times, you have it.
It's very dramatic.
You're going to have to put a clip in.
Did you look to see if this record still stands? Because I did not.
I did. It does still stand.
Okay. Well, good for Kurt.
Yeah.
Maybe that record will last until the days when we actually do allow robots into competitions.
Right. Can you imagine you just have a whole bunch of robots throwing stones and they get like 400 skips? And we're all watching our overlords and clapping politely.
Can you imagine the outrage Kurt would have if a robot took the award from him?
I don't know. I kind of think he's weird enough that he might respect a robot beating him.
That might be the only thing that he would accept.
before we talk about what we learned, one thing I noticed when watching this was sort of the ease that these folks have in doing their hobby. They are expert. They have like the muscle memory and everything to be able to pull off great throw after great throw. Is there anything in your life that you have an equivalent level of mastery of?
When I was growing up, I played piano and I got pretty good at it. And that's a lot of muscle memory as you like memorize pieces. But I don't know. I mean, I've never really done anything at a competition level before. What about you?
The thing that I like most connected with this was my ability to be undefeated at Gallop Racer for, I believe, the PlayStation.
Ready?
Go! I could just like get a sense. Who am I competing against? Yep. What do I need to do? Okay, I need to hang back a little. Now I need to whip the horse. It's Gallop Racer. And I wonder if I missed my calling to be a professional Gallop Racer. Gallop Racer? I could be in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I certainly was not able to come close to defeating you.
I'm good at racing games in general, but Gallop Racer is like my sweet spot.
I thought you were going to say that the thing that you excel at this level is Boggle, because I certainly can't touch you in that game either.
That's only against you, though. When we play our friend Stephanie, I have no chance.
I don't like the time craze, like the pressure.
You don't say.
I can't even talk about it very well, thinking about the pressure that I feel like it puts on me. So I'm better at something like Scrabble, but even that, like the competition level people are, it's just insane what they're able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no way I would be able to, I'd get like 18th place in a 20-person Boggle competition. I can beat you, but see your aforementioned challenges with Boggle.
Yeah.
So I guess, Dave, that takes us to the time to discuss what we've learned.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
On a very broad scale, I didn't really know that skipping stones was even a competitive thing. Were you aware of that?
I was not.
Yeah. I'm still curious about the thing that I didn't learn, which was what exactly Kurt was digging.
Yes.
And I've kind of wondered if anyone's been out there to check. But the biggest thing I think that I learned, I watched a lot of baseball growing up and some football when I was older. And I never once thought to myself that I had what it takes to be able to be an announcer for any of those. But I could absolutely be a stone skipping announcer.
You would be awesome at it.
There it goes. It's still going. It's still going. That's really all he says, is a variation on it's still going.
Well, what else are you going to say?
You've got about 10 seconds to announce anyway, so.
Right. You could do it. Although, will the time pressure of those 10 seconds blow your mind?
No, I can handle 10 seconds.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, he can.
So, what did you learn?
So, I learned that men can make even the most zen activity something that consumes their life for the worse. There are probably men out there who have those little like Zen garden things with the sand in it and the rake that have somehow turned that into a competition that they're like cutting themselves and bleeding for and disassociating from society to get better at.
So you're not surprised that there didn't seem to be a women's league?
No. I mean, I imagine that men probably have greater physical prowess, but I also think women are like, this is dumb.
It's like all you need is something that can be measured and someone who's willing to compete against you.
Yes.
And the right person will find something to latch onto.
Yep. I also learned that Pennsylvania has a large quantity of rocks that are between 3 and 8 ounces and between 1/4 and 5/16 inches thick. When they're walking on some of the, I guess, beaches, for lack of a better word, to find these stones, it's like thousands and thousands and thousands of these thin, flat rocks.
Yeah.
Something about the geography or the geology or I don't know what, but they have a lot of skippable stones in Pennsylvania.
Did you skip stones when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah. Did you?
I remember as a kid, like camping and stuff, like if you got over 10 skips, that was like, wow.
Oh, man. Yeah. I would think that I had made the most remarkable achievement possible if I had hit 10 skips.
It makes you wonder if there's like some savant out there who just like walks up, picks up the perfect rock. Like, what about like a baseball player?
Right.
You would think like somebody like that who's really got the arm strength would be able to set records in this. I guess they're busy competing in a real sport.
And one of the things that the documentary doesn't explore that I wish it did was, is it arm strength? Is it angle? Like, what is the sweet spot? And I guess maybe they don't want to give that away because then Kurt will have somebody defeat his record and will spiral and put more bodies in that hole. But I do wish that the documentary had some sort of like the physics of rock skipping explained.
I think the closest we get is like one of them mentions trying to put some spin on the rock.
Right. Well, no fudge was harmed in the making of this documentary.
Or consumed. We didn't even see anybody eat any fudge or get awarded any fudge.
We didn't even ever see fudge, period.
No.
I'm disappointed.
I am too. But I'm not disappointed with Tomb Dragomir, who is the creator of our theme music, Mexicana Massacre, off of his album Instrumental Psychosynth. And I'm not disappointed with our podcast friends, 6 Foot Plus, and The Projection Booth, great podcast that you should check out. And I mean, I'm not that disappointed in this documentary in some ways. I still wouldn't recommend watching it, I guess.
No, the hour and 10 minutes or so went by quite fast, actually, I felt like. But again, it lacked some good information about rock skipping.
You're watching it more for like the cast of characters and their rivalry. But now that you know how many skips Kurt got, there's really not a point.
Yeah, we ruined it for you. If you would like to yell at us about us ruining it for you, or if you would like to thank us for this excellent, high-quality podcast, you can find us on Twitter at Super True Story or on Facebook at Super True Stories. We also really love reviews, particularly positive ones. And if you tell a friend about us, we also appreciate that too.
Yep. Great ways to show your support if you're enjoying our show. Well, Jamie, thank you for finding this for us. I did learn a couple things.
I might have to mend the thing that I'm really good at from Gallup Racer to picking bad and weird documentaries.
Yeah, if it ever turns into a competitive sport, I think you could get a sponsor.
I hope so. Sponsors, if you're listening, I'm available.
I'm pretty sure it needs to be Amazon Prime.
Probably so.
On that note, until next time, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's still going. That's it. Nice, 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 nice. It's still going. It's still going. It's still going. It's still going. Nice! Nice! That thing is still going. It is still going. It is still going for Canada, folks. There it is. There it is. Whoa! Oh, my God. It's still going. Nice skip.